WTF is Retail, presented by Knotted Commerce, the integration specialists for growing retail brands.
Welcome back to WTF is Retail. How are you doing, Cecilia?
Yeah, great. Thanks for having me on the show.
Thanks for bringing us into our beautiful warehouse slash office in Walthamstow.
Yeah, I think beautiful is a bit...
Someone's tried to make it.
Yeah, it's the chipboard. Yeah. Yeah. Beauty is in the eye of the beholder, I guess.
Whose idea was the red? Was that you getting a bit artistic on the wall? Or?
Sadly not, but I think they've done a good job, those stencils.
Yeah, really nice. So you're the CRO of Pinter. I've been calling it the wrong name all morning, but I got it right now. It brews pints, so it's called Pinter.
Yep, makes beer.
Makes beer. We're chatting with you today about Pinter, your journey, all that good stuff, a bit about you personally as well. That'd be awesome, your experiences. We're joined by Tom again, second episode.
Hello again, looking forward to it.
Awesome.
Second time around.
Yeah.
Bring in the energy, Tom.
I hope so.
is that coffee wearing off?
I've had two this morning.
Yeah. I guess I like to always start with what is Pinter in a nutshell.
I would have hoped, Harry, that you would have done your research, but for everyone watching, I will...
I'm not going to explain it.
Pinter is basically a revolutionary piece of technology that allows anyone to brew their own beer at home, and it's really focused on the simplicity of brewing beer. So if you imagine, when you think of how you would normally brew beer at home, you probably think of all the, you know, all the equipment you need, or the bathtubs you need available, you know, sterile, you know, all the sort of stuff that comes with that, and all the time you need to do it. Pinter takes away all of that. So basically like a swan doing all the work, but underneath there's obviously a lot more going on. So super simple, the easiest way you can brew beer at home, I think, is the best way to sum up what it is.
Awesome. Nice. And this is the Pinter 3.
Yep.
Available to purchase, am I correct?
Yeah, that's right. We launched it in
my research.
We launched it in March last year, the third version. Okay. So yeah, this is the best one yet.
Nice. Okay. So taking us right back to the beginning of Pinter, what's the origin story? How was it born?
Yeah, so it comes from about 10 years ago, our two founders, Ralph and Alex, were going to a party as students. I'm sure you can imagine in Manchester, everyone had to bring their own booze. And Alex spent, 2 months making this special beer for the event, using all his bathtub, using all the equipment. You know, he was sort of novice home brewer. Everyone at the event tried the beer, loved the beer, couldn't believe he could make it himself. It was so nice, well done, Alex. Ralph came in, tried the beer and was like, this is great, but I would never have the time or the patience to do this myself. Mm-hmm. And then basically out of that was born the idea, wouldn't it be great if we could do something where anyone can make their own beer, they don't need the time, the expertise, and you could, have fresh beer at home yourself. So that's sort of where it was founded. Basically, Alex going above and beyond the extra mile and Ralph saying, is there a shortcut for me to do this as well?
Fair play. I mean, I can definitely... relate to that, because when I was in uni, I went into a bit of a brewing phase.
We've all done that.
Just basically to save money, on these dodgy websites. And I think I got a Mexican Cerveza, light and refreshing, and I got the barrels, and I'm in my student hall's room. God knows what I'm doing.
I mean, the pictures look great, but what you end up with is not sort of probably reflective.
Yeah. I think I turned up with this massive, horrible-looking barrel of beer, stuck it in the middle of the kitchen for everyone to drink, and it was absolutely disgusting. God knows what percentage it was.
Yeah. Probably 20.
Yeah.
My friend actually started giving out homebrew kits as a Christmas present. The ones he did in bottles, which was horrific. Horrific. So, yeah, big plastic container in his garage.
I think that's the thing about Pinter, is that you don't have those experiences. So every time it's consistent, it tastes amazing. Yeah. And that's because the machine's basically doing a lot of the work for you. Mm. It's a really novel piece of tech where you brew and tap in the same machine. So in traditional home brewing, you would have to move vessels, carbonate in a different vessel, all that sort of stuff. But the patent pending technology is the fact that you basically can brew and tap in the one device, which is where the sort of magic is.
And it fits in the fridge, does it?
Yeah, and it's fridge fridge fitting.
It's ready. So yeah. if you know, how long does it take? Obviously, I'm assuming different beers take a different amount of time, but generally, how long does it take to brew a beer?
You're right. Different beers do take different amounts of time, but we have two stages of the brewing. So one is the brewing and the second is the conditioning. For the brewing stage, we're talking about 5 to 7 days. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then the conditioning stage where you just put it in the fridge to chill it all down, that can take, 3 to 5 days. It depends really what style you're brewing and how long you want to do it.
Amazing. Cool. And I saw on LinkedIn when I was doing a bit of snooping or research.
Your research.
Yeah, however you want to call it. You won a Red Dot Award.
Yep.
For the design of this machine right here.
Yeah.
What makes the Pinter Free special and better than the other pinters? Oh, I said it. The other pinters. What makes it special? Is there some special features on this or is it just a beautiful looking device?
Yeah, so a bit of both really. I was asking the team, what they felt was the reason why we won the Red Dot Awards, and obviously every department feels like, the design department, it's a design award, tech department, it's a tech award. So I think it is actually a cross-team, achievement, basically. But in a nutshell, Pinter 3 has this technology on this tap, so it's patent pending, but you can basically tap and not have to release the pressure. So it's a really clever way that you can keep tapping all the way through the pinter and not have to touch the dial at the back to let any air in, because it's all available on our website.
We're getting scientific.
Yeah, it's getting super technical, but basically there's a really massive technological advancements in Pinter 3, which means we're really worthy of those awards.
And there's some clever guys out there that came up with that idea, is
it? And girls.
Sorry, guys in general, sorry. In terms of the group.
So it's a team. We came up with it. Pinter is the design manufacturer. We do it. We're very hands-on as a business. So they designed the whole thing. Really clever guys and girls.
How do you select the range of the brewing beers you offer at the moment, or sort of the process to market?
So as a business, we're actually quite community-led. So we like to take a lot of feedback from our community, see what styles they're into, and then anyone in the business can table an idea. So on Slack, we have a Blue Sky Ideas channel, and anyone can say, I want to try sours with guava. I don't know. That obviously sounds gross, but... And the brewers will, select the best ideas, and obviously they've got their own trends that they're looking at. And then the brewers will go away and work their magic and come up with something really special. So the IPA I've got here today is a new one that we're bringing to market.
But and we're going to get a sneak preview taste.
If you're very good during this podcast, you might be able to.
So do you host community events then to get the feedback as well, to come in, test?
We have hosted community events. Sometimes at beer launches, we'll bring community in. We've had everyone down to this beautiful warehouse a couple of times. We're really lucky to actually have a hugely supportive community. Yeah. I think there's a lot of people in the UK who've been itching to have a device like this for so long, you'll see, but there's nothing better than the first time you tap a pinter and you've made it yourself and you've got your friends around and you're like, this is so good. And even for me, I struggle to drink, my husband struggled to drink bottled beer at home now, just because you can taste the difference.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Okay. Well, we'll put that to the test later, hopefully. And how many pints are in here? Sorry.
10.
10.
Yeah.
So 10. It could be, by the end of the podcast, we could be a bit hammered.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't recommend drinking more than one go. But you're probably more heavyweight than I am. But
no, I wouldn't go that far. I'll be asleep.
Do you have a favourite beer at the moment?
Actually, we just launched Encasa, which is our Mexican lager, which is nice. Goes down really nicely. Yeah.
Probably better than the Mexican lager I brew.
Yeah, when you mentioned that, it was a bit awkward, I was going to say. But
Encasa, it's cool. Who came up with the name for that?
That was our new US CEO.
Oh,
yeah,
really?
He was very clever, Encasa. Paul. Yeah. I try to dabble in the name creation, but I've never had one selected, sadly. Oh,
I reckon today... Well, does this one have a name?
It does have a name already, yeah.
Oh, you didn't come up with that.
Sadly,
I think
not.
You should come up with a new name for this, just for this episode.
Yeah, I have tried hard to think of one, but the brand team, they're quite...
Yeah.
They obviously think my ideas were rubbish, and I don't really get why.
They're possessive over the name creation, are they?
Yeah, and they're happy for everyone to suggest, but I just haven't had one, approved. My time will come. I just need to keep going.
So you mentioned a US team there, so you obviously a UK-based team here. So you've just grown in the US?
Yeah, we just launched this year in the US. Actually, it's gone incredibly well. We're growing a community out there as well, and... I think they face almost the same exact challenges that people in the UK who wanted, you know, who've had an appetite for brewing but haven't necessarily got into it.
So you're having to fulfill from the UK at the moment, or you've got stock in the States, you've started to...
Yeah, so we have a 3PL and a warehouse in the States with stock in, cool. And it's fulfilled directly from there.
And do you... We talked about this a bit earlier, but do you still not trade in Europe? I don't want to bring this up, I'm not bitter, but I'm just curious if you've resolved that problem, which I submitted a long time ago.
So at the moment, we're not doing a huge amount of European trade. It's not to say it's not on the roadmap.
Yeah. Okay. Is there a reason you went to the States before Europe?
I think it's due to similarities with the UK drinking culture. The propensity to homebrew in the US is like, you know, you're 10 times more likely to homebrew. So they've just got really good cultures that make pinter, you know, a good cultural fit.
So you actually did the research, unlike me before the podcast.
We sadly had to do a lot of research, but we came out with the fact that it was the best market for our particular product.
Sunday football, probably. That's the big kicker in the States, really. The big
drinking day, isn't it, every week?
American football.
It's like, they're watching football.
But it's things like, they have a lot of culture of like having people over, grilling, you know, there's a lot of similarities with...
And you're selling across all the states, obviously.
Yeah, I think we've had to recently exclude Hawaii, sadly, just because of shipping issues. Okay. But in general, it's statewide.
For all the Hawaiians listening, I'm fuming.
But I don't know. Apparently, we've got the Spanish.
Yeah, our listener base is 90% Hawaiian.
Fair enough. So you have a subscription model. What percentage of the revenue comes from that compared to single sales?
So it's a little bit awkward to talk about the specifics, but in general, what I would say is, in terms of subscription and non-subscription, if you want to get customers on subscription, you sort of have to recruit them at the point of sale. Okay. It's very difficult to recruit further down the line. So it's critical to basically, you know, get subscribers at the point of pint of purchase. Mm.
And this is the kind of beer that you get delivered to you, right? Liquid?
Yeah, we call it a fresh press.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we've got nomenclature for everything.
I will insert a close-up for this moment later.
So this is the pinter pack, and it comes through the letterbox like this. And then inside you have your fresh press, some brewing yeast, and a purifier. So super easy. And then you just pour it into the top of the pinter, fill it with water, and let it, in the brewing position, do its thing.
And how do you select what's the process in selecting the beers? Do you make this fresh press here as well?
No, so our manufacturer in up north. In the cold north. Yeah. No, I just, Liverpool, that's it. It took me a while.
You forget half. The classic southerners forget half the country.
I'm actually from Derby, so I'm officially a northerner.
That's, someone from Derby would say that, but I would argue against
that. Yeah, this is true. I've had that my whole life.
Midlands. Yeah. It's hard for you, right? You know, because you're kind of in the middle. The southerners don't accept you, northerners don't. Yeah. Birmingham people don't accept you.
No, exactly. Yeah, so there's no one. Yeah. And I'm actually slightly north than Derby. I'm more like Peak District way.
I think you're getting northern. You might be northern.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You just can't tell because of my accent.
Maybe.
But anyway, they manufacture all these, you know, up there, and then we distribute to our 3PLs in the UK and US.
And so guys and girls, you come up with like an idea in here for a type of beer, and then you're like, right, let's get this in development, or...
Well, yeah, so anyone in the business can decide on an idea. We often ask the community what they would like to see, and then the brewers will select, and we've got a cross-department beer, like, collaboration team, and they sort of decide what beers will be on the roadmap. And now we have the US arm. You know, our CEO, Paul, has a huge amount of experience in beer particularly, so he's very much at the forefront of pushing that forward now.
Very cool. And your favourite beer at the moment?
I think we did that one.
Did we?
I said Encasa.
Sorry, mate.
We're cutting out.
Double take. It's because you caught me off guard.
I didn't follow in order. Yeah. I just like...
Cecilia's been thrown off guard. I'm off guard.
I mean, I can do it again. I feel like the first take was wrong.
All right, well, I guess we'll move on to that. Shall we just have a try of this? I'm just dying to have a try of this.
Yeah.
Let's do it. Live, okay. Live drinking.
You did say 11, and it's just turned 11.
Did I? Oh my God.
I just watched it.
Look at this. This is magic.
Yes, this is an IPA. Wow. I don't know if you're... Are you IPA fans?
Yeah, very much so.
I'll drink anything.
How much do you want?
No. Yeah, that's fine.
Just stay silent.
It's only 11. Thank you.
You
having
some?
Tom? Yeah, yes, please. Oh, thank you very much.
You were giving me stick earlier for drinking this time.
I know. Yeah, I can't.
That's called hypocrite.
Yeah. I know, it is. Yeah.
Peer pressure. Thank you. I think we should name this beer that. Hypocrite.
Yeah.
Oh, that is very aromatic. That is my beer knowledge.
Oh,
actually smells amazing.
Smell really nice. Mm. Cheers.
Cheers. Let's.
I'm sorry, I had to wait for it. Yeah, that's a good one.
Oh,
so
wow.
So you guys trying it fresh
that's
off
very
the press.
Nice.
I'm not even saying that for the camera. This is like the most flavourful beer I've ever tasted.
I know, it's so
really,
delicious.
Really nice.
But you have, that's the thing with Pinter. When you taste like the fresh beer, it's so different to like bottles or cans you have at home. So like to the point where like I open a bottle of beer at home and all I can smell is like, you know, weed and you know and it means it's been like light struck or you know there's just loads of smells. And we did some training, so I feel like a bit of an expert. But but basically it's ruined normal beers for me now.
That is. I think I just want to buy one now.
Yeah, I already thinking about it.
That's actually unreal.
So that's coming to market. Well, that's like in development, so the brewers aren't, that's not the final version, but they're still tinkering. But yeah, it's coming to market
Can
later this
year. Can I get a
year.
Job as a taster?
I was actually going to try and recruit a mixed berry cider taster. I thought
that's my
quite...
speciality. Tom, I'm live on air, Tom. I'm handing him a notice. Yeah. I'm going to be a cider berry tester.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah, all right, well, can't complain. I guess moving on to a question that you haven't asked, and I don't repeat.
So I just keep drinking my drink.
Yeah. I don't know if you've seen this stat. I don't know if it was like a, if it's from a well-known thing, but I saw in 2022, Pinter topped the Lightning 50 chart for fastest-growing brands in the UK. Did you see that?
Yeah.
I didn't know if that was a well-known thing or it was just a random thing I found on Google.
No. We won that award. Oh. I think it's an award or some sort of acclaim, yeah.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Like, when I was looking at that list, I was like, wow. Fair play. Like,
yeah. Pinter's a bit of a unicorn. Like, you know, we had a huge amount of growth straight out the traps. Mm. It's just like, yeah.
And with that growth, I imagine there was a couple of challenges that kind of stood out, which were like, yeah, we need to kind of overcome this and sort this out.
Oh, no, not at all. It's been amazing.
Easy. Next question.
Yeah, I mean, I won't do the classic. You know, I could talk about all the challenges, but I'm sure you've heard them all before and probably so has everyone else. So it's the same stuff, small business trying to grow and scale, you know, especially on the backdrop of COVID. It happened to a lot of, you know, there's so many, I couldn't even... The thing is with Pinter, so we recently won Sunday Times Best Place to Work and I had to give a quote for that. And the thing about Pinter is like... It is such a challenging place to work in terms of like what we're doing. We're trying to change the way people drink at home, which is like, it's not easy. Like it'd be way easier if we just made a ready-made beer probably, you know, and just sold it. But that's not what we're trying to do. So with that comes a huge amount of challenges. So the whole like working at Pinter is so challenging, but also so rewarding. So yeah, in answer to your question, it was very difficult.
I'm assuming the vibe I get is like, there's a lot of freedom to kind of come up with ideas, creativity, you know, opportunities in here. It seems like quite a relaxed place to work. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's the nail on the head. I think it's very much a friendly vibe. I think I was listening to one of your other podcasts and someone said, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
And
you found the one.
The other one person not in Hawaii. Yeah.
I think someone said, like, you know, it's the cliche, it's not like a family, but like, I genuinely think this is actually a place to work if you're friends with your colleagues. Your colleagues are actually friends, which helps, I think. Are you guys friends or are you frenemies?
There's a friendship.
Off camera. I'm never going to speak to this guy again.
We've got several ways after this.
Yeah. Yeah, not even say bye to each other. Yeah. Both walked to the station and bought it in separate.
You know what to do. Yeah.
I guess we've kind of been going through these.
We've covered, I mean, one of the key things, certainly from my side, as a tech background, it's always quite nice to hear what's happening. You mentioned 3PL in the States. What else is happening behind the scenes? So what's your e-commerce platform?
So we use Shopify, obviously. I'm sure everyone does in the world now, or nearly everyone. Mm. And then we plug things into it and try to personalize it where we can. We obviously use a development team, a bulk team of developers. I think they're based in South Africa. And so we have quite good tech capability, but one thing I would say is we've spent a lot of time trying to make it our own and things like that, but I would definitely, if I could do it again, resist the urge to try and build something new. I would say it's way better to just be flexible on what you're trying to do and get something that's already made, because otherwise you end up becoming a tech company rather than what you're actually trying to do. If that makes sense.
You don't have physical stores or anything like that?
No,
and sort of see the product. Like that.
We are actually available in John Lewis and we were in Tesco, so we are in retail, and especially in the States, we're in Ace Hardware, which is a chain of 4,000 shops. So we're available in stores to see, but we don't have any of our own hard space.
How big is the US team? I don't know if you said that already. You've got a CEO over there, but have you got any?
We've got a team of two at the moment, but it's growing at the moment. So in the next couple of months, probably it's like recruitment happening at the moment. So
live recruitment.
Yeah. We're looking for a mixed berry taster in the States.
Well,
influx.
Someone get me a mixed berry keg right now, and I will tell you, I'm going to describe that beer perfectly.
Problem is, it's first come, first served, so only, I need CVs today, really.
I'm already here. I can just start today. I'll start right now. Have we got any brew in any of that cider? It's just... I'll just do my interview live on it. Sorry, mate.
So what does the future look like for Pinter?
I actually don't think in future people will be drinking from cans at home.
Okay.
For example, when you go out now, you always take your... where possible, you always take your water bottle with you. Mm-hmm. That's a change that's happened in the last 5 years. You used to always sort of buy a bottle of water, now you take it with you. Same as like a coffee cup. Often people will take it with them from home. They have keep cups. At home is actually the easiest change to make. Can you imagine drinking out of a plastic bottle at home every time you have a drink of water? I just don't think... I think our mindset is stuck because manufacturers and brands have told us this is the way to drink beer at home. But actually, it's not. In 5 years' time, people, I think, will be horrified that they used to have a sip of beer, have 300ml and put a can in the bin. Yeah. That can's not really going to be recycled, It will go in the recycling stream. If you're lucky, it will be. But, recycling rates are so low, and they're over-reported usually as well. So that's what I think for Pinter. I just think the world is moving, and people are actually becoming more eco-conscious. Mm. And not only that, now I have the Pinter at home. We drink from the Pinter at home. It's noticeable how much less waste you have when you take your... We're not huge drinkers, but,
every night.
But how many Pinters in your fridge do you have currently?
A box of beers is 13 cans plus the box, and it's all in your bin, and it's I don't know.
And it's crazy expensive to buy. I'm shocked how expensive buying beer is.
But I think most things are just expensive now. I think just in general, Pinter, for me, the sky's the limit, because I just don't think people will continue to drink from single-use containers at home. Mm-hmm. When that's the easiest environment you can change your habits. It's way more going out of your way to carry a cup around with you all day when you're out and about,
I just like the fact you can bring beer to me. I think that's quite... I like that. The fact that I have to go to the shop now.
Yeah.
Bring the box.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And the other thing about Pinter, in the future, 2024 is our biggest year yet. We have some amazing, massive collaborations coming, where Pinter is going to be cemented as a real platform for other beer brands. I'm not allowed to say who. I did check whether I could say, and they've said no. But we've got some of the most famous beer brands in the world coming on board.
Amazing.
So you'll be able to brew their beer at home.
Yeah, so you'll be able to brew your literal favorite beers at home yourself.
You're going to be working with sort of influencers as well then? Is that sort of an idea?
Yeah, we already have a few influencers who work with us. Yeah, so quite a few. Yeah,
so that's sort of something you take. Okay.
Yeah.
Very cool. I guess the horror question, which everyone hates at the end, which makes me think maybe we should just scrap this question. But we're going to do it anyway. It's the favourite... favourite retail brand at the moment for you?
Oh,
Like, Megan, you haven't already pre-thought this out.
But the reason I've just stuttered is because I read that question as favourite brand. What's the difference between a retail brand?
I don't know if there is any, is there?
No, any sector you want.
It doesn't have to be retail. Yeah, that's why I just froze. It's obviously very difficult, and even the brand people couldn't give me a good idea to say. Mm. I did get one suggestion, but it was a brand I'd never heard of, and I was worried you might question me on it, so... Okay. I didn't want to, you know, say a brand I'd never heard of, and then you ask me what it is.
This is you. This is what you're into.
So I probably have to say someone like McLaren. I think they're quite cool.
McLaren? That is a curveball. I did not expect that today.
Oh, is that a retail brand?
No. I just didn't expect McLaren just being thrown out there.
Oh, yeah. A bit of a car person.
Are you into the F1?
I do like the F1. Okay. But I'm also into cars in general. I quite enjoy, you know.
Well, this is a side note question. What car are you driving at the minute? This is going to be a bad question.
I will actually be crucified if I mention it. So I have a old Range Rover Sport, the old shape.
Real fan, right? The old shape.
Yeah. And then a Lotus Elise.
Is it yellow? Please tell me it's yellow.
Red.
Red, okay. Yeah. That was like one of my favourite cars when I was growing up. I don't know why. They're just kind of cool, aren't they?
I think they're cool. Yeah. They're like the best value sports car you can get, I would say. For like looking like, you know, for money. But my husband's like super into cars, so he's got a range of old...
Are they still British made? Made in Britain?
Lotus.
Yeah.
They're made in Norfolk, but then obviously they have a lot of parts that come over from different places.
Yeah. Cool. And if people want to find out more about Pinter, where they can buy this beautiful machine...
I would probably suggest the website.
Just Google Pinter.
Search Pinter in Google, probably. Yeah. Social media, I don't know. Yeah. Instagram. Hopefully I've answered all the questions and managed to sell a million. So.
Yeah. Well, your Hawaiian sales are going to skyrocket. Yeah. But unfortunately for you...
No shipping.
No shit there. Yeah. All right. That was like the smoothest podcast I think I've ever... It might be something to do with the beer.
Oh, nice. Yeah. How was my Zoe Ball audition?
I think you get the job.
Cool.
So yeah, just to summarise, not a commerce, we're an integration agency. Anyone who's listening and is looking for some integration needs, we're your guys, notedcommerce.com. That's a wrap.
WTF is Retail, presented by Knotted Commerce, the integration specialists for growing retail brands. Ooh.